Now, the tilak, we mark our body with tilak. Right. There's 24 different there's 24 different forms of Vishnu, different expansion of Vishnu, mm-hmm. and they're named according to where the symbols of Vishnu are placed in their hands. They have four hands each, and there's four symbols: Garuda Chakra, Padma, Shank. And the Shank in the right hand, upper right hand, and all these things. And they have names like Damodar, Trivikram, Madhav. These are all Vishnu names. These are all names of Vishnu. These are not names of Damodar, Yashoda, Damodar. You shouldn't be confused. This is Damodar. And if you look in the first canto of Bhagavatam, there's pictures of all these planets emanating from the body of Mahavishnu, from the pores of Mahavishnu, lying on the bottom. And those planets have a presiding deity, and it shows those four-hand Vishnu forms, and underneath it shows the name, the Sringa, Damodar, Trivikram, Padmanabh. You can see on the cover of the first canto of Bhagavatam, there's four Vishnu forms with symbols in different places, and underneath it says Sri Damodar, Sri Trivikram, Sri Padmanabh, Sri Govinda. Govinda is not the flute player of Vrindavan, it's a name for Vishnu. So don't get confused. And these are also the Hindu names of the months, the 12 months of the year, have Sanskrit names, Govinda Mas and Trivikram Mas and Pavana Mas, and like that. So I think there's the symbols are 3, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, the symbols are the 12 months of the year. And the names of those are the names that we put on our body are also the Sanskrit names for the 12 months of the year. Madhav Mas, Damodar Mas, and Trivikram Mas, and Pavanav Mas, and Vishnavay Mas. And these are because the protector is Vishnu, the maintainer, the creator is Brahma, the destroyer is Shiva. And the protector and maintainer. Maintainer means protector. Maintainer and protector is Vishnu. The body is protected by Vishnu. Because Krishna is in Leela. He's Leela Purushottam. He's not involved with the Srishti. He's not involved with the creation. He only comes here to show Leela, to attract us to Leela Dham. But Narayan, his Purushavatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha, and Shiradaksha Vishnu, they're very much involved with the material. Srishti Leela, the material world, the maintenance of it all, and even the creation destruction is all different aspects of them. Brahma and Shiva and really expansions of Vishnu. Mm-hmm. So this body and this protecting element and all this, there's no need for protection in the spiritual world. There's no annihilation. Mm-hmm. There's no time factor. Mm-hmm. There's no death. There's no disease. There's no enemies. There's no extinction. There's no opposition. There's no demons. Protect from what? So this function is a Vishnu function, so that we anoint our body. There's different ways that are described. One is described that this symbolizes that the body is a temple of the Lord. Not so much that it's another way around, rather than saying that I'm putting these names of Lord on my body so he can protect me. So he can serve me by protecting me. That's a very much wrong idea. The other way around is, I'm marking my body with the names of Vishnu to indicate that my body is meant for him. My body is meant for his service. This is the real devotional angle. That I'm marking down my arm, my forearms and my shoulder, my collarbone and my shoulder, because that's tilak, is actually supposed to be up here. My arm should be engaged in the service of Madhusudan. And that actual, and this trivikram is on the collarbone. Mm-hmm. You don't see it very much. Sometimes it's usually here. It's actually supposed to be here, like an epaulette. This is the collarbone, which is quite obvious. It's supposed to be here, from here across here. So my stomach, my neck, my forehead, the top of my head, everything is, my whole body is a temple of the Lord. And the temple is a structure or a place which is dedicated for the pleasure and service of Krishna. The service of Krishna, that's what goes on in the temple. Hearing, chanting, remembering, puja, archanam. So my body is a temple of the Lord, the front, the back, the sides, the top, the bottom. All the parts of my body are the Lord's temple. And I'm reminded of that when I demarcate my body with a tilak. And of course there's subtleties of being like a kavacha and protecting the Lord. And you see, protecting the body. And Krishna Lila, when Mother, because it's Nara Lila, so when Mother Yashoda was sending Krishna out for cowherding, then she would mark his body with, she would take saliva sometimes, saliva from her mouth, and mark Krishna's body and chant mantras as a kavacha. And sometimes it says she would chant the Sringa, prayers in the Sringadeva to protect his body from the elements or the demons or whatever, because he was facing so much opposition. But that's a tilak situation. His diksha name was Barshabanavi Dayatya Das. His janam name was Bimala Prasad Datta. His father was Kedarnath Datta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he gave him the name of Bimala Prasad. And he got the diksha name Barshabanavi Dayatya Das, the servant of the beloved of the daughter of Barshabana. Barshabanavi means Barshabana. Dayati means the beloved. The servant of the beloved of the daughter of Krishna, which means Krishna Das. But you're called Krishna Das in relation to Radharani, so that's even sweeter. If I just say, oh, you're Krishna Das, but I'm a servant of Krishna, that's even better. The most beloved. So when he got that name, then he only received two instructions from Gaura Kishore. Gaura Kishore gave two orders to his disciple. One is, don't initiate any disciples. Yeah. And the second instruction is, don't live in Calcutta. Yeah. So those were the two instructions. And this is told also in the Gaudiya Math by Sridhar Maharaj. Or any sincere or senior devotees, they will say that our Guru Maharaj received two instructions from his Guru. One is not to initiate any disciples. And the second was not to live in Calcutta. So then someone might say, well, it appears that Bhaktisiddhanta, who was, he had actually disobeyed the orders of his spiritual master. Even if you say your Param Guru was initiated by Gaura Kishore, then he was a Guru Tyagi. He rejected his guru. He didn't follow his guru. Because he initiated so many disciples and he lived in Calcutta. And his main temple is called Bagh Bazar, which is in Calcutta. That's the headquarters for Gaudiya Math. And he died. He actually left his body there. He also died there. And he lived there many years. That was his headquarters for his whole world, mission. India mission, of course, worldwide mission. So your guru, he rejected his guru, he didn't follow. So sometimes Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples, they met him and they asked him, they said, Guru Maharaj, we're a little bit confused. Because your Guru Maharaj only gave you two orders and both of them you went against them. He said, don't live in Calcutta and you live in Calcutta. And don't initiate disciples and you initiate disciples. So can you please explain? He said, firstly, I've never initiated any disciples. Because I'm not a guru. I'm not a guru. And I'm just trying to serve my spiritual master and preach Krishna consciousness. And all of you have come to me. You're all my gurus. You're all my gurus. You're all my teachers. And you're showing me and teaching me how to serve Krishna. So I don't feel and I don't believe that I've ever initiated any disciples. I consider you all to be my masters, all of you to be my teachers, all of you are my gurus. And I'm your servant. I'm simply here to serve you. That is my only role. So I'm carrying out the order of my guru to not to initiate any disciples. Because I don't have any ego that I'm guru, and I don't feel that I'm guru, and I'm not guru. I am simply connecting you to the great acharyas in our line. I'm giving you some teachings or some direction, but they are your gurus. Gaura Kishore is your guru, Bhaktivinoda is your guru, Rupa Goswami is your guru, but I'm not your guru. So, in this way, Bhakti Siddhanta did, he answered the first question. He said, I've never initiated any disciples. I don't see you as disciples. I'm not a guru. And you are all my gurus, and I'm just Lord Chaitanya, and my Guru Maharaj just sent you to teach me and to help me in my Krishna consciousness. So I've never initiated anyone. I have no identity like that or any feeling like that. In fact, in the senior disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta, the senior vyasas, and they were very advanced in philosophy and service, and also sannyasis, when they would come in and offer obeisances to Bhaktisiddhanta, he would also offer obeisances back. They would get down, he would also get down. Not just go like this, he would get down and offer obeisances on the floor to them. So much regard. Now the other question about Calcutta. My Guru Maharaj, you know, your Guru Maharaj said you should not live in Calcutta. And then I see you're staying mostly in Calcutta. Bagh Bazar is very much Calcutta, in downtown Calcutta. He said, no, I'm not staying in Calcutta. I'm staying in the temple of the Lord. And the temple of the Lord is transcendental. The temple of the Lord is actually Vaikuntha. I have nothing to do with Calcutta. The temple of the Lord is where the hearing and chanting and service of Radha and Krishna is going on 24 hours a day. And I'm involved in this activity. I have nothing to do with the activities of Calcutta. I'm not involved with the politics or diplomacy or any of the doings of this samsaric Calcutta. I'm in Vaikuntha. The temple is Vaikuntha. It's a transcendental atmosphere. I'm passing my days 24 hours a day hearing and chanting and glorifying Radha and Krishna. So I'm following my orders, Guru, not to live in Calcutta. Because Calcutta is the material world of birth and death and disease and competition and lust and anger and envy and greed. And I'm completely aloof and separate from all those activities. I'm totally fixed in the spiritual atmosphere. And I'm not touching anything of this world or anything, especially anything to do with Calcutta. So in this way I'm not breaking the order of. And our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, he gave lectures on chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita. And he said that don't think that I am in a New York apartment, but I'm actually in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was in that same mood. He was not in New York, he was always in Vrindavan, remembering Radha and Krishna. This is an interesting history of Gaudiya Math. So those that don't have the deeper insight, that only see things externally, they will find fault because of their lack of perception. They may know a little bit of the truth and then draw a conclusion on the basis of their approximate knowledge of the circumstance. But those that are more familiar with the details can make a more accurate assessment and judgment. So the Babaji's, if they even have this idea, they'll criticize, oh, your Guru Maharaj has violated his Guru. It's very difficult. It's dangerous. Even Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged. So in relation to japa, there's two points. One is that we should chant with full attention, full absorption, to the full exclusion of anything else, any sense input. We shouldn't hear anything or see anything or think of anything else but the holy name, the vibration of Krishna's name, Radharani's name, and let the name work its magic. And but from our side, there should be surrender, there should be attention. And the acharyas say that if we can't hear, just simply hear it and settle our mind with the sound of Radha and Krishna's names in the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, then we can inject the meaning of the holy name into our mind while we're chanting and hearing, so that our mind can latch on or hold on to also the meaning. The holy name means this. And Prabhupada gave us a very profound, basic yet profound meaning of the holy name, O Radharani. O energy of the Lord, O Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency of the Lord, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So this is the meaning of the holy name. It means service, it means begging, it means petitioning. And then the mood, of course, Prabhupada said there's some mood should be injected there. Our hearing should have a certain, there should be a mood behind our hearing and a mood behind our chanting, which is a crying mood, or the genuine crying of a child for his mother, which implies that he's crying because he's separated. Or he's crying because he wants something. Maybe his mother's there and he wants attention, or he wants food, or he wants protection, or breast milk, or whatever. He's crying because there's something missing. He needs something. There's some separation. He's separated from food, or separated from protection, or separated from love, or separated from warmth, or whatever. So he's crying. And he's not crying out of happiness, he's crying out of distress. So that kind of mood Prabhupada imported into the chanting should have kind of, should be that mood of distress, that mood of separation, that mood of begging, that mood of crying, genuine crying of a child for his mother. Mother Hara, as Prabhupada said, Mother Hara. Radharani is our mother. Of course, Radharani is a divine consort and the paramour lover of Krishna, not exactly someone's Mataji. Mm-hmm. But at least that mood of compassion, a mother is compassion, mm-hmm. compassionate, the mother is kind, the mother is generous. So Radharani is all of those things. She's most generous, most kind, most compassionate, Karunamayi. So these are some attitudes and prayers that can be mixed in the chanting. And that can be considered still within the realm of attentive chanting, but not fully attentive. Fully attentive means one is attentive to the sound vibration. And anything, any other extraneous thoughts that come into the mind while chanting, thoughts for service or thoughts for devotional service or details about the service that we already have given to us, he tries to push those out and not allow those to occupy his attention, because that becomes a type of inattention. He wants his full attention, his full heart, mind, senses, feelings, mood, everything on the vibration, the sound, the Shabda Brahman, the transcendental sound of Krishna and Radha's name. Because they're there, and we want to clear everything else out of our mind and heart, so they will show us how they are there. The name itself will show its form. We don't want to see service. We don't want to see ideas for service, or people, or places, or objects, or circumstances, or clues, or answers to service riddles or puzzles. We want to see the form. We want to chant and see Krishna's form with Radha. I want to perceive their qualities and their pastimes. These are the expectations and realizations we hope to attain as our chanting becomes more focused, more pure, more offenseless, and pure, focused, and attentive. These things will manifest in a sequence. Nam will produce form, form will produce qualities, qualities will produce lila. Now that's the actual ongoing practice, the active practice. Now when one concludes his chanting of a prescribed number of rounds, after he concludes, it's like you plant a seed of a fruit tree, then you water the tree, the seed, then it becomes a sprout, then it grows into a little tree, then leaves, and finally a bigger tree, then leaves, more leaves, and finally flowers, then fruits. And then finally you pick the fruit and offer it and eat the mango, prasad. So the whole chanting process of 16 rounds is like planting the seed, watering it, growing a tree. Then when the whole 16 rounds is done, then you have a tree with a fruit on it. Mm-hmm. And then you take the fruit of that tree, and that fruit is seva. Mm-hmm. The fruit of that tree of chanting attentively mm-hmm. and absorbedly is seva. And that at that time, then you'll become a rush of inspiration, a river of inspiration, a flow of inspiration, and devotional enthusiasm, devotional energy, devotional inspiration to perform your given service, or to, and maybe newer and creative ways, or to perform new services. This will come at the end. So if it's coming in the middle while you're chanting, then that means you're not attentive. Mm-hmm. This is how you combine these two concepts into one. You finish your rounds and you feel fresh, just like you go to, mm-hmm. if you eat properly in the day and you're digesting your food and you sleep properly, when you wake up, when you're slept properly, you feel fresh, at least you're supposed to if you're healthy. Mm-hmm. You wake up and feel, oh, okay, another day, and you feel, okay, let's get to it. And like a materialistic karmi person, he just practically jumps out of bed, mm-hmm. and he just sings his way to the bathroom and starts brushing his teeth and combing his hair and taking a bath. And he just, okay, where's the breakfast? Where's the breakfast? Mm-hmm. And the husband's so jacked up to get his breakfast, and he's so enthused to get to the job and close the deal and buy this and sell that and get the factory running and make the production. You know, he's enthused in his material life because of resting or maybe associating with his wife or whatever. A devotee gets his enthusiasm by connecting with Krishna. Spiritual enthusiasm and a rush of energy and excitement about service. Not like, oh, I finished my rounds. Now I have to go into deity room and address the deities. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is terrible. I wish I could get out of this. Mm-hmm. He gets up at 3 o'clock and then he chants his rounds by 5. You know, 5 after 5, 10 after 5, he's in the temple, in the deity room. And he's already chanted 16 rounds and he's got all kinds of. And as soon as he gets there, everything's flowing so smoothly. Oh, this idea comes for service. Now, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I put the flower like this. And just like flowing like anything. So this is why we emphasize the most important thing, the most urgent task of every day is to chant 16 rounds. That's why I'm trying to induce the students to take rest at 10, get up at 4, to be healthy, happy, and holy. But there seems to be not too many healthy, happy, holy students out there. There are not too many people following the standard RDA, recommended devotional attainment. It says recommended dietary allowances, RDA, that's in vitamins. Recommended dietary allowance, so it's recommended devotional achievement. Right. It says that intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. So devotees have intelligence, and as they become more sincere about service, Krishna gives more facility and flexibility to their intelligence. So they can make some pretty good decisions, pretty good judge of circumstance. This is one of the qualities of Krishna, an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. Mm-hmm.